Begin the current daf Masechta Yuma daf Nun Hey. Begin on the bottom line of Nadal and Beis, where the Gemara continues discussing on Mishnah. Now, as again, we're in the second out of the five phases of the Kohen Gadol's transitioning on Yom Kippurim, which again, the first avoidus that he does is with the Big Day Zahav, that's the Tamash Al Shachar. Then the second avoidus, then he goes to Mikveh, switches into the Big Day Lavan, and he does his par, and he does the lottery of the Seirim, and then we said that he slaughters his par, and he receives the blood, he gives it to someone else to mix in the meantime. He goes, gets the coals, gets the keteris, comes into the kachar kachim, brings the avodah, he puts the keteris on top of the coals, he comes out, he says a short tefillah, and that's where the Gemara continues right now. Now Mishnah said, then after that, is not less adam mimishim emaris boi b'chula. Then he goes to the one who all the while he went to do the keteris, after he slaughtered his par, he went up to get the coals and the keteris, and now he goes back, after he finishes the avodah of the keteris, to the one that was mixing his blood all along so that it shouldn't congeal, because it had to be a liquid that he could spray it. He goes back to that individual. And our Mishnah told us that when the Kohen Gadol goes to spray, which is he goes back to the same place in the Kachar Kachar between the Badi Aron, where he did and they put the Keteris, is where he sprays Achas Lamala V'Sheva Lamata, one above and seven below. So the Mishnah told us it's not that it really does one above and seven below, rather Kematzlev. That's why our Gemara asks, my Kematzlev, what does it mean that he sprays it like a Matzlev and not really one up and seven below, but rather like a Matzlev? So Machvi Rabbi Yehuda demonstrated, we continue on top of Nun Heyman Aleph, Kemenagdino. What that means is like someone that's hitting with a whip, and that is a reference to the Shlich Bezdin, that when someone had to have the 39 lashes for certain Averis, you get Malkus. So when he was hitting with a whip, he would start on the shoulder, and he would go lower and lower and lower, that they should be in different places. That's the same idea with the Kohen Gadol, when he would spray the 8 times, in the Kachar Kachim, from each carbon, from the Parim, from the Sayer, he would do one above, and then the 7 ones would come lower and lower and lower, which would be like this Matzlif, which would be whipping one below the other. Now, the Gemara continues explaining this idea. Our Mishnah said that Lohi Miskaven Lahazis Lamalis, not that he really had one that he sprayed up on top of the Kapiris, which is he would be spraying this 8 sprays of blood from the blood of the carbon. We said one was above the kapiris and 7 were below. So on that, the Mishnah said it's not that it really does one on top of the kapiris, was the covering of the Aron Kodesh, as if one goes on top of it and 7 go below it. Rather, it was kamatzav, as we just explained. So the Gemara brings a brisa that clarifies this concept. Tana, we learn the brisa. Kishu mazer, when he sprays lamala, Eina maza ala kapiris. He doesn't actually spray on top of the covering of the kapiris. Ella, and this is what the Mishnah was saying, it's not that he actually does one lamala, one on top of the kapiris, rather keneged oivish al kapiris. Rather correlating opposite the thickness of the kapiris. However, it's not that actually any blood touched the top of the Aron Kodesh, on top of the kapiris, on top of the ark. Rather, it just went opposite and passing that area right next to it. And the explanation is as follows. Kishu maz lamala, when he went and sprayed that, what was said was achas lamala, one on top, what it meant was mitzadid, he directed the top of yodai, of his hand, lamata. So his hand was, the top of it was facing downward. And therefore when he would be throwing upward with the palm of his hand facing up. That was the achas lamala. Ukishu maza, and when he was spraying the 7 lamata, which were the ones that went below, mitzadad yod lamala. So there he would have the top of his hand facing upward. And therefore, when he would be spraying down, it would be going in a downward direction. That was where one would be going lower than the other. They would all fall on the ground. So that's the explanation of the achas lamala shav lamata. Again, not that really one went on top and 7 went below. It just means the direction of where his hand was. So the achas lamala had the top of his hand facing down and he was going upward, that upper direction. That went passing, we was going opposite the area of where the top of the kapiris was. And then the shav lamata would be his hand facing the other way, going downward. That was towards the direction, so it was the trajectory of where he was throwing it was what we said achas lamala and shav lamata, one below the other. So therefore you had the first one that you threw, it landed, and then you had 7 below that one, but they were all going on the floor, and none of them actually touched the kapiris. Now the Gemara asks, where do we know this, that he didn't literally spray it on the kapiris? those two, which means the one of Achas Lamala of the Par, which was the Kohen Gadol's carbon, and one of the Achas Lamala of the Sar, which was the Jewish people's carbon, that it didn't literally touch, because the pasuk sounds like it says Al Kapayr, said it went on the Kapayr. It sounds like he actually sprayed it onto the covering of the Aron Kodesh. How do we know that it wasn't like that? That it was just a reference, a point of reference for what direction you would be spraying it, but they all landed on the floor. And that Amr of Acha bar Yaakov, Amr B'Zeri, says, Omar Kro, is a pasuk in Meikra that says, and the beginning of the pasuk there is in Perek Tezayin Pasuk Tezvav that says that v'shachir esor ha'chatas ha'shelam, that the Kohen Gadol would slaughter the carbons, the sor la'shem, that was the chatas that was for the Jewish people. V'hevi esdame al mibes l'parechis, he brought the blood inside from in beyond the parechis, inside the kodesh kachim. V'as esdame kasha asa l'dam ha'par, and he did to this blood, that is the dam of the sar, like he did for the dam of the par, because the dam of the par, he first sprays that blood first, and then he does the Jewish people's carbon there, sar la Hashem, he does that afterwards. And the pasuk concludes, as the Gemara quotes, v'hiza isay al kapars, that he was sprayed on the kapars, but lifnei kapars, and in front of the kapars. Now, the Braisa elaborates, which will then demonstrate this, that it cannot mean, and doesn't mean, that it's going on top of the kapayrus. It just means, as we explained before, in that area, meaning facing on the top where there was the trajectory, but it didn't actually touch the house. Because lo yomer lamata b'sar, the Braisa says that it should not have said the term v'lefnei ha-kapayrus, in which means the one that goes facing downward of the sar, because as it says in the pasuk, v'hiza oise al ha-kapayrus, that's the ones of the achas lamal going upward, which could mean, which the Braisa is saying it's not, as the Gemara says, that it's going on top of the kapayrus. And then this is lefnei ha-kapayrus, which obviously is not touching, it's going in front of it, which sounds like it's landing on the ground. Now the Braisa is saying it should not have had to say even the term of lefnei ha-kapayrus. And the reason is, delay tzarech. At the end of the day, you don't really need any pasuk to tell you about the sprayings that are done, the ones below of the sar. Why? The gummer mimat the par. Because we learn out the sprayings below of the sar from the sprayings below of the par. Because ultimately, it doesn't tell us in the pasuk by the sar la'ashem how many sprayings he's supposed to do. Now the Gemara later on will bring that we learn out from it the sprayings of the blood by the par, the ones that are seven lamata, where it says in the pasuk v'lefnei ha-kapayrus yazer sheva pam, it says there clearly by the par, by the bowl of the Kohen Gadol, that he should spray it seven times, which was towards the ground. Now, since ultimately the pasuk has to teach us the halachas of sa'ir for the one spraying downward from the par, because we don't know how many times he sprayed by the sar. So as the Gemara will later illustrate this halacha, that we learn out the sprayings of the par to the sprayings of the sar. So then the question the Bryce is asking now is, so then why did we mention it at all in the pasuk of lefnei ha-kapayrus, meaning in a reference to the sprayings of the sar lamata, if anyways we're comparing it to the par, as the pasuk says, va'as says damai kasha asal dama par, that you should do for the blood of the sar. As the Gemara will later on explain, that's where we learn out that kasha asal dama par, like you did for the dama par, which means just like by dama par, you do seven times downward, seriously do seven times downward, which the pasuk doesn't tell us how many times. Now, but once we have to learn out from it anyway, so then don't say it at all. Don't mention lefnei ha-kapayrus. We're going to know that just like over there, you do sheva lamata. Here also, not only should we learn the amount, but even the fact that we spray lamata should be learned out from there. Now, Rashi says that the one of achas lamala, that makes sense why the Gemara is not, the Bryce is not asking why we say it at all. You should learn out everything from par. And that's because by the Sar, as the Gemara also will shortly explain, it says in the pasuk that you should do it one time, because it says v'hiza oisoy al kaparis. You should spray it on the kaparis. Now the word it sounds like one, and therefore again and because the converse is true by the par, but the par doesn't say how many times you spray upward, and therefore each one, as the Gemara will later explain, learn out from each other. By par it only tells you how many times you spray below, but not above. The achas lamala doesn't say that's one, and by the sar it says only the one va'isai. It says the one of lamala is one, but it doesn't say how many below. So therefore, the Bryce is asking. So therefore, lama nema. Why does it say at all v'lefnei ha-kapayrus? Again, we understand why ala kapayrus it says, because that tells us the one of sar that and by par doesn't say how many times you actually learn a par from sar, but the ones below, the ones that we spray seven downward. Why does it say, so we know that the amount is learned from par, but the Bryce is asking, why do we even say at all that you do it below, if you could learn that out just from par, because par has below and here also has below. So why does it say it? So that, from the extra words of lefnei ha-kapayrus, which I did not need, again, because by the par shabasar, because I would learn that out from par, comes to teach the following hekesh. Lakushi al lilifne. It comes to equate the sprayings of on top, which means the ones lamala, to the ones lifne, that the ones that go below. And that is to equate the ones above of sa'ir, and therefore it says alakaparis are the ones like lifne hakaparis. And what's that hekesh? Ma lifne lav al, just like when it's saying lifne hakaparis. Doesn't mean that it went on top of it, and that is it didn't literally touch the kaparis, because lifne sounds like it was before the kaparis, didn't actually touch it, landed on the ground. So therefore, af al de lav al, that's what it's, the extra words, lifne hakaparis, what's it here for? To tell you, to way of defining the term of al kaparis, it's coming to compare the two, to say that so too when it says on top of the kaparis, doesn't literally mean it touched the kaparis, rather just the direction, as we said, the trajectory that you should have the top of your hand downward, and then your direction is throwing it upward. That's why we're saying that it's al on top, but not that it literally touched it, and that's why we have the extra words of lifne hakaparis to teach you, just like lifne is not actually touching it, rather it's on the ground, which are the ones that you throw below, so too the achas lamala is not actually touching it at all. And that's the source for this halacha, that we know that neither of them, not even the one of al kaparis, was going on the kaparis literally. It just meant the direction, achas lamala is you're throwing upward, and it lands in a spot, and then you shev lamata, below that one you throw it in a line, like kemenagnina, like we said, like kematzlev is throwing it in the direction of how they would whip. That was what the Gemara has explained. Now the Gemara asked the following question. Adarabba, to the contrary, as we had alluded to this before, you could say the opposite way as follows. Lo yomer lamala bepar. It shouldn't have said at all that you do any sprayings above, which means ala kaparis, by the bull of the Kohen Gadol. Delay tzarch. Because ultimately, you don't need to say at all regarding the sprayings of the par above, the gamar, because as the Gemara will later on show us that we learn, mimal de sar. You have to learn from the ones of the sar, where it says explicitly, they're oisai, that you do only one lamala. That doesn't say by par how many you do lamala, and that ultimately is learned out from sa'ir. So lama nemar, so why does it say at all that you do any sprayings, lamala? Why does it say ala kaparis at all by the par? Which is because anyways it doesn't tell you how many times. So ultimately you're going to have to end up learning it out from sa'ir, as the Gemara later explained from that pasuk, which equates the sa'ir and the par. So then why does it mention ala kaparis in the first place? You could learn that also, even that foundation, could be learned out from the sa'ir too. On that, so therefore I would say, Lakushe, oh, that's to equate lifne, the lifne hakaparis of par, la'al, to the alakaparis of par, which, because since it's extra, this alakaparis, is coming to teach the following lesson. And that is the reverse of what we had taught. Maybe say that ma'al mamish, in other words, because al is extra in the context of par. Lifne is extra in the context of sa'ir. So the Gemara had learned it from sa'ir. What's the extra term lifne telling you? Oh, they're just like lifne is not touching it, so too al. So the Gemara is asking, wait a second, say the reverse. Par is extra al kaparis. Say that we're coming to equate lifne to al, and al is teaching us the lesson, and that is that just like al is mamish, because when it says al pnei hakaparis, it's saying on the surface of the kaparis, it's actually going to touch it, af lifne al mamish. And that is coming to teach us that even when it says lifne hakaparis, it's teaching that the bloods have to touch the thickness of the kaparis, and that it actually, although it's saying lifne, it's before it, because it's not on top of it, but it's going to touch it in the front of it, which is the thickness part of it, and it actually should touch it. So how do you know to learn out that none of them are touching, because we compare al to lifne of sa'ir, maybe say the reverse. Maybe compare lifne of the par to al of the par, and to say just like al touches, so to sa'ir touch, and that everything has to touch the kaparis. So the Gemara answers, hi, mai. How's that tenable? Because i'amr b'shleimi lamata disar lakushi, if you say like the way we had proposed before, and that is the lamata of sar, which is the term in the pasuk that says lefnei hakaparis, which we said that what if that's extra, because anybody's going to have to learn that from par regarding the amount, so just the idea that you even do any sprayings also should not have been written, because once you learn it from par, you can learn the whole thing from there. So he said that yes, it's extra, but the term lefnei hakaparis comes to teach you just like in front of means it's not touching, so too even when it says al is not touching, and it's just going again in that trajectory. So that would make sense for this sar. And lamal de par, and regarding that which you asked, that it also shouldn't say ala kaparis by par, because it doesn't tell you how many times you spray up above by par, and you have to learn from sar anyway, so just learn out the whole springs at all from sar, and therefore ala kaparis is extra by par. So you wanted to say, oh, that's extra, so that actually should define it in the reverse, just like al means it's touching, so to even lifnei is touching. No. because that I would tell you mibayli. That's necessary to teach a different halacha. Like the Tana Beir Elazar ben Yaakov. The Tana Beir Elazar ben Yaakov. He says it says in the pasuk in Vayikra Tezayin Yudal. It says the v'lakach midam apar, that the kohen gadol should take from the blood of the bull. V'hiza be'etzboi, and he should spray with his finger al panei hakapiris, on the front of the kapiris kedma, which is facing the east. Now, Zebona'av, this is a building block. In other words, this is something that teaches that Kalmokim Shanema Panei, wherever it says the face, Eina Elokodim, that's a reference to the east. And therefore, that's what I would be learning out from this pasuk. You're right. It's not necessary to teach us Al Panei HaKapiris, because I know Al from anyways from Sar. But it's not for the term of Al that's teaching us. It's teaching for the term of Panei. Al Panei HaKapiris to teach us that that's towards the east, and that's something that teaches us a lesson for all throughout Torah, and therefore it would be a necessary pasuk. Eliyamad Lamal de Parlakushi. But if it's like you're asking on our Limud, that no, maybe it's the other way around. Why does it say Al HaKapiris by Par? In other words, the ones above, that's coming to identify and qualify the one Lefnei that even Lefnei is going to be touching. But then the question is, Lamata Desar, Lamayasa. So what would the term of Lefnei HaKapiris by Sar come to teach us? That's extra, and we have no other limit for that. The reason why it's extra, because anyways you have to learn the amount of those springs from Par. So why say the springs at all? If anyways you're going to be learning it from Par, as the Gemara later bring a pasuk that compares the Sar to the Par. So it must be like we said. Because although there's two extra psukim, and yes, you have a good point, why are we equating it this way, equated that way, but the way we're doing it, we'll have an understanding of the extra term of Lefnei HaKapiris for Sar, which again would be to compare it to Al and say that even Al is not touching. And we have an explanation by the term of Al HaKapiris by Par, what that's for, that's to say Al Panei, to say that Panei is Kedma is the east. But according to the way you're asking in our Pshat, that it should be the other way around. We should compare Al to Lefnei and to say that even Lefnei is going to be touching. But however, then we'd be stuck. We wouldn't know what the extra words Lefnei HaKapiris mean by Sar, and therefore it must be like the way we said. And again, that's the source that the Gemara brings, that neither one, not Al or Lefnei, neither one touched the Kapiris. And again, it was just the trajectory, the direction of the way he was throwing was Achas Lamala. They would all go in a row, but one of above would be, that's the direction would go, and it would go on top in the ear space of where the Kapiris was, but then it would land on the floor. And then it would be the Shevelamata would be throwing downward. Now, continuing on this, which we were speaking about before, we mentioned this idea about the comparing of Achas Lamal and Shevel Lamata. How do we know the numbers of the amounts of the sprays by Par and Sar? So the Gemara brings the following brisa. Talmud Milena brisa. It says in the pasuk, "V'hiza oisei al hakapiris v'lefnei hakapiris," that he will spray on the kapiris, that's the Achas Lamala, and the lefnei hakapiris, and in front of the kapiris, that's the Shevel Lamata. So the brisa explains as follows. It says, "Lamanu kam lamala b'sar." So we learned how many from this pasuk, and this pasuk is in the context of the sa'ir, which is the he-goat of the Jewish people's carbon, how many go above by the sa'ir, which is achas, which is one, because it says oisai it, and oisai it means one, it's the singular. However, the Braisa tells us, lamat besar eni yideh kam, I still don't know how many are the ones that go lefnei hakapiris. It doesn't say an amount, how many are sprayed downward. But on that the Braisa says, hareini dan, I could learn as follows. Nemer dam lamat bepar, it says the bloods, in context of the halacha, by the bloods of the par of the bull of the he-goat, that you throw them below the nemerdam lamata besar, and it also tells us that you should spray bloods downward lefnei hakapiris by the sar of the klal yisrael, and therefore I would make the following comparison: malamata bepar sheva. But just like the pasuk tells us clearly, it does say in the Torah by the bull of the kohen gadol that you spray that seven times downward af lamata besar sheva. So too the bloods that go below by the sar of the Jewish people of the he-goat, that also has seven. Other way says maybe you go a different direction and say nemer dam lamala b'sar. It says regarding the bloods of the sar lamala of alakaparis, the nemer dam lamata b'sar, and it also says regarding bloods below by the sar, which is lefnei hakaparis. And maybe you'd say that malamala b'sar achas, just like the throwing of the bloods of the he-goat above are one spray, af lamata b'sar achas, so too when you spray the bloods of the sar below is also one spray. And therefore, it's not clear which one would you comparing it to. Would you be comparing the bloods below of the par to the bloods below of the sar, which would make it seven? Or would you compare by the sar itself, the one above to the one below, that you'd only have one below? So that the Bryce says, nearly midaima. Let's see which one it's more similar to. Maybe done in mata mimata, you should compare the below bloods, the below throws, vein done in mata lamala. And you can't learn the sprays of the blood of the sar below to the sprays of the sar above. And therefore, you're going to have seven, because what's below is what's Lefnei HaKapiris is Lefnei HaKapiris. Don't compare it to its own sar above. and therefore you compare it to the par, which is also below, and you'll have 7. That the Bryce says, Adarabba, to the contrary, done a gufa me gufa, maybe learn it out from it itself. And the ain't done a gufa me alma, don't learn out the sar from a different carbon from par. The sar itself, above is 1, so below is 1. And therefore, either one has a reason why I would say it should be 7 or 1. So, Tamalema, that's what the Bryce teaches. And this was the pasuk we were alluding to beforehand, that we said that there's an equation between the par and the sar. It says in the pasuk va'asas dame, that he should do the process of the blood of the sa'ir kasha asa dama par, like he did for the blood of the par of the kohen gadol. Now she'en tamalome kasha asa. The pasuk is not really teaching us when it says as you did by the par, so too by the sa'ir, because by both of them it's explicit. It says v'hiza, it says v'al, it says v'lefnei. So therefore, what is it really teaching us? That just like you do by the par, so to do by the sar, what more are we going to learn out what that we're comparing the sar to par? It says what to do already by sar without comparing it to par. It says to spray it, it says you should do above, you should do below. Rather, what's it teaching us? Shiyu kol asiyosiv shavas, that all its activities should be the same. Which means this following halacha, just like when the ones of Lefnei HaKaparas, the ones that you're throwing below by the bull are 7 sprays, Kachlamata Besar Sheva, so too the sprays below by the Sar of Lefnei HaKaparas, which the pasuk doesn't tell us how many, it's going to be 7 because it's coming to equate the par to the Sar. So now the Braisa continues. Lamanu kam Lamata Par Besar Sheva. So now we learned, the Braisa continues and says that we know how many are below the ones of Lefnei HaKaparas, that it's in the downward direction by the par and the sar, that they are 7, because by par it says 7, and then the pasuk is equating them to say that sar also says sheva lamata. However, lamal v'par in idir kamo, but the sprays above the al HaKaparas by the par, I don't know how many, because the pasuk doesn't say. So that the Braisa says, v'arini dan, I'll make the following comparison. Nemr dam lamal b'sar, it says that also to spray blood above by the sar, which is al HaKaparas. And also says to throw blood above by the bull. And that is mala mala b'sar achas, just like by the sa'ir. We know that it's 1 because the pasuk says oisai, and that's singular. So to above by the bull will also be 1. The Bryce says maybe go in a different direction. It says to throw bloods below by the par itself. And also says bloods to throw above, al kaparis by the par. And therefore you would say, malamata b'par sheva, just like below by the par 7, aflamal b'par sheva, so to above, when one is throwing al kaparis, is also 7. And therefore there's no way to be conclusive about which way we compare it to. So another Bryce says, nearly midayma, let's see which one that's more similar to. Dunim imala b'mala, we'll compare above to above, in other words, al kaparis from al kaparis. Vein dunim malamata, we won't learn that above from below from lefnei kaparis, from the par itself. And the Bryce says, no, other up to the contrary. Done a gufa me gufai. Learn the par from itself, which is what you do below, is what you do above, which is 7. They ain't done a gufa me yama, don't learn that itself, the par from a different carbon from the sar to say it's going to be 1. So therefore, it's not conclusive which way. Tamalema, that's what the pasuk teaches us, as we recorded this pasuk before. We were comparing one way, now we're going the other direction. The us says, dame, you should do its blood of the sar, kasha us, like it was done by the par. Because the pasuk is not teaching us anything by equating the par to the sar, because they each one say what avoidis are supposed to be done. But therefore, what ultimately is kasha asa, like it was done by the par, coming to teach to say that the same thing should be done by the sar? That all their actions should be the same. And therefore, so that we know, as we said before, just like below by the par is 7, so too below by the sar has to be 7, because they have to be the same. Now, therefore, the same thing works in reverse. And therefore, if we're saying that they're both the same, so too by the sar, that it's one lamala, kach lamala par achas, and therefore, the one lamala by par is also going to be achas, and therefore, because since the pasuk is saying that they're the same, so no matter though, even though the pasuk sounds like it's teaching par to sar, but ultimately sar is going to be teaching us the par, because they have to be the same. And therefore, just like each one has one that tells us which one, and the other one doesn't have that halacha, so therefore we compare to the two, and therefore sar is learning out sheva lamata from par, and the par is learning out achs lamala from the sar. Now the Gemara continues with explaining our Mishnah. So we have this source that explains that it's not really like our Mishnah says, that he wasn't miskavin lahazas lamala, he wasn't really doing above the kapayas or below the kapayas, wasn't actually touching the kapayas, it was just again, as we said, in that direction. Now, our Mishnah said that when he was counting, when he was spraying these 8 sprays, the one lamala and shabbat lamata, he was counting, he would say achas, 1, that was the one that he did in the upward direction, then he would do the 7 below, he would count achas v'achas, one and one, meaning the one, the first one is referring to the one that he threw upward, and then achas v'shtayim, one and two. So he would always be counting the one that he threw upward, and then he would count what number he's up to with throwing downward. So that the Gemara brings a brisa that elaborates on this halacha. Try by one the brisa. Machlekes. Achas, throwing up, he goes one. Then when he starts throwing the seven below, he goes achas ve'achas, the one and the one below. Achas u'shtayim, he would always count, even though he wasn't spraying it again above, but he would count that one that he threw up, and two that he's by the second one throwing downward. Achas v'shalish, one and three. Achas v'arba, one and four. Achas v'chamish, one and five. Achas v'sheish, one and six. Achas v'sheva, one and seven. So when he kept on going to the second, third, fourth, he would always say achas. He would mention that again, which the Gemara will later explain what's the purpose of that. And he would count two, three, four, five, six, seven. Different Meir, that's opinion of Meir. Behudaimer, he says achas. When you threw the one lamal, you would say one. Then achas v'achas, one and one. Then shtayim v'achas, two and one. Shalosh v'achas, three and one. Arba v'achas, four and one. Chamash v'achas, five and one. Shesh v'achas, six and one. Shev v'achas, seven and one. Now, however, the Gemara tells us, v'leipli, they're not actually arguing. Rather, Marki Asri or Marki Asri, this master, this Remeir and Behuda, each one went according to the location of where he lived. And that is, they just had different ways of calculating the denominations of the Klal and the Prat. Which is, for example, when you're saying 21, 22, you can either say Achas v. Esrim or Esrim v. Achas. And that was the reason why they changed of which one do you say? Do you say the Klal first? Do you say the Achas v'shtayim? Or do you say shtayim v'achas, but really they don't argue, it's just a way of how you count your numbers. Do you first say the general number, the 20, and then the 1? Or do you say the 1 and then the 20, which is the same thing over here? Do you say achas or shtayim, or do you say shtayim v'achas? Now, however, the Gemara does tell us that the kuliyam miyas. However, everybody agrees that hazar rishayna tzricha minyanim kol achas v'achas. Maybe they differ about how to count it. But either way, when you're counting 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, you're also counting with it every time you mention the one that was thrown lamala. My time, what's the reason? What's the point of mentioning that? Why don't you just say 1, and then you go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You did, that was a separate one, then you do the 7 below. That thing more brings two reasons. Rabbi Elazar Amar, he says, Shleyita b'hazois, that he shouldn't make an error when he's spraying. And that is, the way Rashi explains it, that he should have time in between every spray, that he shouldn't make a mistake in the counting, that saying one gives him time to pause. The way the Tesi Shalom says it is that because if he doesn't count the first spray of the one lamala by itself with the seven that he sprays below, he's going to make a mistake possibly and he'll come to count that first spray with the amount of the seven lamata. And therefore, when he's going to start counting the seven lamata, he's going to count already by two. He's not going to realize that was a separate one. So if it doesn't count, it is. If he doesn't always have to say 1 and 3, 1 and 4, 1 and 5, he might go 1, and then go 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. He's going to make that error. Although Tesh Shem says that maybe you just count 8, that's what he says, that's going to be different. You can't do that because you have to make an interruption. You have to be separate. However, that's the reason why. It's because of an error. You don't want to make an error in the amount of numbers you have to do. And then if you say 1, and then 1 and 1, you'll know that that's not the one that you were doing below. It's a separate one, and that's why you have to count it every time. That's one shot. Another pshat the Gemara brings Rabbi Yochanan Amar. He says Amar Kro. He brings it from a pasuk. The pasuk says v'lefnei ha-kaporis yazer, that in front of the kaporis he should spray, and that is she'in tamalei miyazer. There's really nothing that it's teaching us with spray because the pasuk already said that you should spray, and now it's just saying that also l'fnei ha-kaporis in front of the kaporis. Why say the extra word yazer he should spray? Umat tamalei miyazer. Limer alazar rishayna that comes to teach regarding that first spray that's yaz is going on that first one shetzricha minim kol achas v'achas, that it also has to be counted together with each one. And as Rashi explains, it says the term chukah in the Torah, which is always a term of likuva of holding back the validity, and that is if one does not do that, it will not be a valid hazaz. And that's how you see that you have to have the mention of that yaz of the achas lamala with all the lefnei hakaparis, with all the sheva lamata. Now the Gemara says, "My benayu." What is the difference between the two interpretations? The difference is if one did not count, but he didn't make a mistake, and therefore, according to Rabbi Elazar, ultimately you'll be yaitze because it's a precaution that you might make a mistake. If you didn't make a mistake, you'll be yaitze. But according to Rabbi Yechon, who learns that from a pasuk, and as Rashi says, the term chukah is written over there. That's liikuva, and if the Torah mandates the counting, if you don't count, even b'di'evit, one will not be yaitze as chiyev of the hazois of achas lamala and shev lamata until he actually counts them. Now the Gemara continues explaining our Mishnah. So he said that after he did this achas lamala and shev lamata, first of his par and then of the soyer, so it says that there's a machloikis regarding when he would be transitioning from the par to the soyer, regarding where he would place the blood of the par. As our Mishnah said, yotze havinicha al kin hazav shebehechel. He would go out from the Kodesh HaKadosh, and he would put the blood of the par on the golden the stand that there was there in the Heichel that would hold the blood of the par. Now, there was a machlekes in our Mishnah if there was one stand or two stands. And that is, the Tanna Kama says that there were two. He would put the one of the par down on one, and he would take the blood of the sar from the other one. Rabbi Yehuda had let know that there was only one stand, and therefore, since the blood of the sar was there, he had to first to pick up the one of the sar and put the one of the par down, and he was able to go back to the other one. So now, related to this idea, why there was one pole and not one, there's one stick and not two, and that it seems like a Yehuda would hold that one would get confused, and therefore first you have to first take it out, and now you know which one you're holding and you put down the other one, versus when they're both on the thing, you might get confused which one it is. The Gemara will bring the following discussion. So Tanhasim, we learned over there in the following Brisa. Yehuda and Yehuda says, Loi hayu shayfris. There wasn't this box which was in the shape of a shofar. The reason was so that it should be narrow on the top, that you can't stick your hand in and steal from the coins, which is where they would put in monies that were going for purposes for the Beis HaMikdash. So there weren't any boxes, l'kinei chayva, for the person that had an obligation to bring a pair of birds, which are obligatory, which is a zav or a zava or a woman that gave birth or someone that became tamei going to the Beis HaMikdash, which they have an obligation to bring a pair of birds, one as an oila, one nechatas. And that Rebbe Yehuda says that there was no box for the kinei chayiv, for obligatory kinim, as there was boxes for the kinei nedava, as the Gemara will bring from the Raisa later on, that the kahanim would go ahead and take from those boxes, and they would purchase pairs of birds, and they would bring it as karbanos from them. So a person was just able to put in his money that he owed into the shayfer, and then the kahanim would go ahead and buy from that. And that Rebbe Yehuda says, however, regarding kinei chayiv, for the zav or zava or yeledis, they didn't have a box. They weren't able to put it into a box. What's the reason? Mneha tarubis, because of the mixture. Now, it's not clear what does that mean. Maim mneha tarubis, what does it mean because of the mixture? So the Gemara brings, Rabbi Yisrael says, mneha tarubis chayvas benedava, because of the mixture of the obligatory kingdom with the voluntary kingdom. And that is, as Rashi explains, maybe the different boxes are going to get mixed up. And what's going to end up happening is that the kohen will go ahead and purchase from the money of the box that's supposed to be for chayva, and he's going to buy a nedava with it, or the one that's supposed to be nedava, he's going to buy a chayva with it, and that's going to be invalid. And the reason why is because the ones of chayva are, one is a chatas, one's an oila. If someone's a zav or a zava or yeledis, they have to bring the pair of birds, and one's a chatas, one's an oila. Now the nedavas are all oilas. You can't make a chatas and a nedava. And we know that one cannot do the procedure of an oila as a chatas. You can't do the procedure of a chatas oila because they're different, and therefore it's going to be invalid. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda held that you cannot have a box for kinei chayva, because then you might mix up the boxes with nedavas, and that's going to be a big problem. So they didn't make a box for it. Actually, you had to go to the kohen. You had to go out and bring it yourself. On that, Amalei Abayis said to Rabbi Yosef, "What's the problem? V'navetrei, make two different boxes." Make one the one for the kinei chayva, one for the kinei nedava. V'nichtav alai haide chayva hainedava. He's saying you don't make a separate box. Yet they have to go through the whole effort of getting their pair of birds and bring it to the kohen. They couldn't just put it into a box like everyone else, because they're going to get confused, and then they're going to mix up these karbanas that one's supposed to have chatas and oila, one's supposed to have only oilas. Why? Let it be written on it. These are the chayva ones, and these are the nedava ones, and no one's going to get confused. And that the Gemara answers, which is where it comes in relation to our Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda, and this is what he answered, we continue to Amud Beis, less like Ksiva. He doesn't hold that to rely on writing, that to show that this is one and this is something else, and thereby we won't mix them up, because sometimes the Kohen will not analyze what's written on it, and he might still mix them up, and that's where Rabbi Yehuda held, even if we would write, it wouldn't help. It's not like in our Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda says, L'ho yosham elikin echad bovad. He holds there was only one stand for the bloods. Now, why was it only one? Trei my time aloi. Why couldn't there be two, like the Tanakama held, one for the dam of the power, one for the dam of the sar? Mishum nemichlefi. Because they're going to get mixed up. And that is, if we would make these two different poles, these two different stands for the bloods that there were, he might end up putting the container of the blood of the sar on one and the blood of the power on the other one. Now when he's going to come to take the blood of the par, sometimes he's going to mix it up and he's going to take the dam of the sar instead. And therefore, now that Rabbi Yehuda holds there's only one, so therefore he's not going to be able to put one down until he first takes the other one. And therefore it's going to come out that they're in the proper order, how they're supposed to be. That you'll have the one of the sar after the one of the par that's inside the kachakachim. Then you'll have the par after that, which is the first one, the heichel, and then afterwards you'll have the one of the sar. However, we couldn't go ahead and have two different poles. Then the question is, why? V'navitrei, make two different ones. V'lift of alayu, hide the par, hide the sar. Let one pole have the blood of the par. Let one pole have, one stand have the blood of the sar. Now you're saying you might get confused. Have it written on it. This has the word par in it. This has the word sar. Now what's the confusion? Allah, rather, what do you have to say? Rabbi Yehuda, less like Kesiva. Obviously, Rabbi Yehuda does not hold that Kesiva will help enough to rely on it that he won't get confused. Even if it's written, he still might get confused. And therefore, that answers the question that you asked. Let it just write which one's Kinei Chayba, which is Kinei Nedava. Doesn't make a difference. Rabbi Yehuda holds that's not enough of a prevention for the confusion that might happen. And therefore, that's supported with our Mishnah, which says that you only have one cane, one stand, and not two, because even if we would write, it wouldn't be enough of assistance. And that the Gemara asks as follows: Meisvei, learn the Mishnah Masechta Shkalim. Mishnah Masechta Shkalim says that Shloish Esrei Sheifaris Hayu B'Mikdash. There were 13 different boxes in the Mesa Mikdash. V'hayu Kasav Alein, and they were written on them the following things. The first box said Tiklin Chadatin. These were for the new Shkalim. The second box said V'Tiklin Atikin. These are for the old Shkalim. The Kinin, the third box says that these are for the pair of birds. The fourth one said, these are for the young bird offerings. The fifth one said, and this is if someone wants to bring in a dava for firewood. Sixth one said, if someone wants to donate frankincense, which is burnt on the Atzim Mizbech. And the seventh one said, this is gold for the klisharis. Vishisha, and the remaining six had written on them, linadava, that they were for donations. Now, what that meant was that they were what's called kaitzim Mizbech. And that is what's called the dessert of the Mizbech, which is a person would put money, which they would, if they got this money from all the leftover carbon ashamis and chatois that we learned regarding them, that they have to go out to pasture. That what's called yira, they have to go out to pasture and develop a mum, and then you sell them, and then the money that you get from them, since there's nothing to do with this par and this and with this asham and this chatos, then they would take that money and put into this box for nedava purposes. Now, in the last parak of Masechtas Menachas, the Gemara teaches us over there that there were six boxes that correlated to the six bati avos in every single mishmar. And that is, every single mishmar, there were 24 mishmars, had a week, which is split every single day, was a separate base of a separate family. Now, there were six boxes that each family should recognize his day, and therefore, if the Mizbeach was batal on his day, meaning there weren't any carbons being brought at that point in time, in that day, so each one would only bring from the carbonus of their box, which was designated for them, and then they would bring carbon oilers, and that was what's called Kaita Mizbech, and those were the six remaining boxes of Nedava, where each one for each day of the week, for that base of that day of the week. Now the Mishnah explains that what are these first seven items? So the last six we explained, those in the Nedava, those are the leftovers of the Ashram and the Chattas, which they have to develop a mum, and then you get money from selling them. That goes into these boxes for Nedava, which are when the Mizbech is idle, they would bring carbon as oilers. However, what's the first seven? So Taklin Chadatin, the new Shkolim, that's a reference to Elu Shkolim Shal Kol Shana B'Shana. That's a reference to the Shkolim of every single year. In other words, a person has to bring a Machtsa Shekel every single year. Now, if a person didn't bring it in other time, which is the proper time to bring it, so that when Rosh Chodesh Nisan comes, when they have to bring the new Kabbanis from the new ones, from the new Shkolim, if he didn't bring it in other, so he could bring it the whole entire year as long as he wants to, then he would put into this box which had written on the Taklin Chadatin, the new Shkolim. And then the Gizbar, the one in charge, the Gaba, he would go ahead and take it and he would put it into the Lishka, into the chamber. And then they would take what's called Trumas HaLishka, they would take off part of it in three boxes at three different times of the year, which is called Preis HaPesach, 15 days before Pesach, Preis HaTzeres, 15 days before Shavuos, and Preis HaChagin, 15 days before Sukkot. That was the box of Tiklin Chadatin. Then you had Tiklin HaTikin. You had the second box that said in it, these are the old Shkolim. What does that mean? Mishloi Shokol Ishtaket, someone did not take the Machzah Shekel. He didn't bring last year the Machzah Shekel he was supposed to bring. So Yishkol Ashanaba, so he brings his Machzah Shekel from last year, the coming year, and he puts it into this box that had written on it, Tiklin HaTikin, the old Shkolim. And then the Gabbai, he would go ahead and take it and put it into what's called the Shiyari Lishka, the leftovers of the chamber of last year. Now, what do they do with this? A lot more money sometimes than the amount of karbanas and all the needs that are bought with the trumas halishka. What do they do with the leftovers of the what's left in the chamber of the new coins? So they would use it to build the walls of the city and the towers, as the Mishnah Maseches Shkalim explains. So when this person brings it the next year, they would put into that fund of what's called the meisar, the shiara halishka, and that would go ahead to purchase with that. Then the Mishnah continues, Kenan, the third box was the pair of birds, Hain Tyron. Those are the turtle doves, which means from these monies you're only allowed to buy Tyron. And then the fourth box was Goizli Oila, the young pair of bird offerings, Hain Bnei Yaina. Those are the young pigeons, Bekul and Oilas, and they're all Oilas, to Rabbi Yehuda. That's the words of Rabbi Yehuda. Now, as Rashi explains, but one thing we see from Rabbi Yehuda is that he obviously holds of Kesiva, of writing. Because it says v'hoyakasav alein, it says that these are what written on them, and Rabbi Yehuda is saying this, and he says that this is tikkun chatan, this is tikkun atikin, these are the kinin, these are the goizli oila. Now, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's correct that kinin, he argues on the other opinions over there that say kinin are the ones of chayva, which are the oila and the chatas, and goizli oila learn are the ones of nedava. That Rabbi Yehuda is not saying that. He says kinin are the tyrin of the turtle doves, and the goizli oila are the younger ones. That's the difference between those two different boxes. So yes, as we said before, he doesn't hold of having a separate box for the kinei chayva of Azab, Azab, and Yoledes. They don't put into any boxes. However, the interpretation cannot be like Rabbi Yosef said. Rabbi Yosef said the reason why we don't is because tarubas. He said, what does tarubas mean? Oh, you might mix up the box of the chayva, the box of the oila, of the nedavas. So he says, what do you mean? Write on it. So he says, no, obviously, as he proved from our Mishnah, so to speak, that writing wouldn't help. And that's why we don't have two different stands. And that the Gemara is asking right now. You see clearly Rabbi Yehuda holds of writing, because you see that the other items, at least, that they also have to go for what they're designated for the new shkolm, the old shkolm, they go to different places, and the geizli oila, they're going to unique places, and you see that it said hayukasabalein, that it was written on it, and that helped enough to have the other boxes. And it's Rabbi Yehuda who's saying this. So you see, Rabbi Yehuda does hold that writing helps. So rather, the Gemara says a different shot. Why is it that, what does this mean, Mimneha Taruvis, that Rabbi Yehuda didn't allow a separate box for the kinei chayva if writing does help? So why don't you just write that? These are the chayva ones, and these are the nedava ones. So Kiyaz Rav Dimi, Amar, he said, Amir ben Merov, they said in Eretz Yisrael the following pshat. Kizeirim shum chatas shemesu bala. It was a decree. It's a concern because of a karban chatas that the owner is going to die. And that is as follows. If we would allow a separate box for the kinei chayva, for the obligatory ones of the Zav, and the Zav, Yeled, the some of them became tamei going to the Beis HaMikdash, where the pair of bird offerings, one goes as an oil, one goes as a chatas. Now, if one of the owners died who had put money in the box already, now, since, as we said, one of the pair is a karma chatas, that comes out that that money is a chatas, that shemesu bala, that the owner died. Now, what happens to that halacha of such a chatas? That money, that chatas, has to be thrown into the Yam HaMelech, has to be thrown into the sea. Now, it's in there somewhere. We don't know which is his. Now, it's mixed in with all the kosher ones. And hence, because it's mixed in there, it invalidates all of them. Because it's mixed in somewhere here, there's something usher over here. It makes everything usher. Because of Mipnei HaTarubis, because of the mixture. So Mipnei HaTarubis is not like Rabbi Yosef said, because the box might get mixed up with the Chayva and the Dava. No, because in the box of Chayva itself, of course writing helps. That's why you could have a box of Tiklan Chadden, Tiklan Atikin. The writing helps, and that was Dibri Yehuda. Problem is, in this box itself, there's his money is going to get mixed up with everyone else's money, and he died. And it's going to make everything usher. We don't want to ruin it for everybody. Who knows how many hundreds of people brought their things over here. And it's going to get usher because of HaTarubis. And therefore, we make a box for only Nadabas. And Chaybis, we don't want to be stuck with such a situation. On that, the Gemara asks, Umichai Shinan, is it really true? Are we concerned that someone that brought his chatas, which they would bring it by that night, but maybe in the interim he died, are we concerned for that? To say that we're not going to make a separate box for Kinei Chayva because maybe one of these people, the Zava, the Yeladis, one of them is going to die today and hence make everyone else's Aser? But Vatnam, we're learning the Mishnah Masechet is getting that we're not concerned for this. The Mishnah tells us, Hashtilei chatasim in Medina Siyam, if someone sends his chatas from Medina Siyam, from far overseas, although if he would die, there would be a cheder shemesu bala, we're not allowed to bring it anymore. It has to go out, and to pastor, it has to go out to Yom HaMelech. We do bring it because there is a chazaka. We assume that the person is still alive. And you see, we're not concerned for such a thing that maybe. So why don't we make a separate box for kinei chayva? Because maybe, but we're not concerned for maybe. So why are we not making a box? We don't assume someone's going to die. The Gemara answers, Ella, rather, mishum chata shemesu bala hovadai. The reason why we don't make a separate box is not because maybe that we assume that maybe this would happen, because we don't assume that. Rather, it's for the situation where we know for a fact that somebody died from when they already put their money in and they didn't bring all the karbanos yet. And therefore, it's going to be usher bitaruvais because the person we know died. In other words, we're concerned for such a situation that that would happen. Not that any time we're worried that maybe one of these people died and therefore we can never have a box of chayvah. No, of course we wouldn't be a problem. That wouldn't be a problem. We're not concerned for that. But in such a situation where we would hear that, oh, this person died, and we know he put the money in the box, everything in the box becomes usher, and we don't want such a situation to happen. Therefore, we never make the box for the chayvah because of when such a situation might happen, and it would make everyone else's kinim usher. That the Gemara asks, the Nivra Arba Zuzay. There's an easy way out of that problem. Why don't you just select four zuz from that box, which is the value of one prey, of one bird, which we said there's two birds, there's kin, there's the kinim, there's the pair of birds that everyone, zav, zav, yaledis, have to bring. One is a oila, and one is a chatas. Now each bird is worth four zuz. So the Gemara is asking, what do you mean? Just take four zuz out of the box. There's hundreds and hundreds of zuz, because all these different people's karbanis. Vinishli b'maya, throw that four zuz in the water, and then mahanach nishtari, then the rest of the mixtures will be permitted because you took out a value of four zuz, which is the value of that person's chatas, who he died, and that has to go to Yam HaMelech, and take that and throw the Yam HaMelech, and everything else will be permitted. That the Gemara answers, Rabbi Yehuda less lay Breira. Rabbi Yehuda does not hold of the concept of Breira in this situation to rely to permit the Isra of everything else that's Asr. And that's the reason why we learned that you cannot make a separate box for Kinei Chayva, because of the Tarubis. When he says Mimnei Tarubis, what does it mean Tarubis? Not like Rav Yisi said, because the boxes are going to get mixed up. Or not like the other pshat, because that maybe he's going to die and we should be concerned for that. No, in a situation when we know that the person actually died, then you're going to have that Tarubis. However, as we explained, it's not necessarily a raya from our Mishnah that Kesiva wouldn't work, because actually we proved from that Mishnah Masechet Shkalim that writing does work. As we see that, we know for Tikla Chadatin, Tikla Atikin, the writing helps us identify which box is which. But again, the interpretation over here is because it's going to get mixed in when the person dies, and just to choose out doesn't help, because the concept of Breira is, oh, retroactively we will say that the four zuz we chose is the four zuz of that person. That he holds that we, in this situation, to permit all that of Issa, we don't rely on Breira to say that this is his four zuz. We don't know which is his four zuz, and therefore it's mixed in there somewhere and it's going to make everything else Asr. That's according to Behuda. One does never, we never make a separate box for Kinei Chayva because of such a situation that might happen.